Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy International Women's Boxing Day, everyone. A phrase that I think Elise is solely responsible for coining in today's newsletter. But the International Women's Day was woman in yesterday. It was oppressive.
Yeah, I every corporation on earth emailed me to let me know that they appreciate.
What was the wildest one?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I like sent them all to spam because it was such just kind of like an overwhelming amount of ads, content, etc. It's kind of interesting that International Women's Day has just become like a way for brands to try to sell you shit.
It is. I feel like that happened really fast over the past 2 years.
Yeah, I think my favorite was a Delta TikTok that showed all their female pilots, flight attendants, desk agents. It's just
all
like women, fly women or something like that.
Like those ones just feel patronizing because it's like literally we're 50% of the population. Like the issue is not there's not enough of us in existence. Like, yes, good job highlight. It's like the issue is the representation in the pay and the leadership. And yeah, it was just crazy. Somebody told me they got like a discount on a mouth guard.
I mean, sure. So,
yeah. I saw some subject lines with just like such minimal effort that literally were like, yay, women, yay, ladies.
Well, that's what Black people have been feeling. Well, I feel like also we're talking about how in the past 2 years, we've been seeing like this corporatization of women's history. I feel like that has happened for Black History Month, for Hispanic Heritage Month. And then now, as we're talking about Juneteenth being a federal holiday, mm-hmm. like last year and the year before was the first time that like, there were like Juneteenth sale. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really like late stage capitalism.
It's a big discussion around pride too. And like corporate sponsorships of pride floats and like, I know that pink washing is usually just a term specifically for like breast cancer awareness month, but I feel like we see it like every single social justice cause that has like a month or a time, mm-hmm. it gets co-opted by brands to ostensibly align themselves with this cause. But it's like, I know in the, around the pride discussions, a lot of times if you actually look into whatever, like Citibank will have a pride float. But then if you look into what kind of campaigns these corporations donate to in their day to day, it's like, okay, but you support causes that are actually against this.
The thing, my favorite campaign for Women's Day popped in my head as you were speaking. And you know me with my, if I don't say it really quickly, but of course it was the NFL celebrating International Women's Day when they are notorious for sweeping trigger warning, mm-hmm. domestic violence, and sexual assault cases under the rug. They do not treat women well at that company at all.
No.
Like low women leadership. And also like almost every team has a scandal with their cheerleaders and how they treat their cheerleaders. So that was one of the ones to me when I saw that they were doing International Women's Day stuff. I was like, you have got, it's literally like when a Republican writes a Martin Luther King Day tweet. It's like, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, you're right, Elise. I think pride is sort of like the origins of this, where finally people are getting skeptical of, like, real quick about the corporate taking over of International Women's Day. It's kind of got the same, like, rainbow washing effect.
Yeah.
It's also just they're always like, I should have done this yesterday, but I really do think that a lot of these emails just went through ChatGPT. They were like, spit out the most tepid, like, embrace of equality that means absolutely nothing. Like, I was just walking around, like, literally on Fifth Avenue, they just all had their easels that were like, yay, women. And it made me feel some type of way. And we'll be having to deal with this throughout the month. But, you know, we have today, like most days, a very woman-focused show. We will be discussing women's rights and, of course, women's wrongs, as Millie likes to say. We will start, of course, with You Heard It Here Second. So by now, you have absolutely heard kind of story of the week that Walgreens is in hot water over appearing to capitulate to the demands of 21 Republican attorneys general to stop dispensing medication abortion. I waited until today to really dive into this story, and I ended up being more confused than I was because there really is – they have no strong legal basis for this, and there's really no reason why Walgreens needed to cause this for themselves unless this is just there's somebody high up there who hates abortion. So in a number of the states, of these 21 states where Republicans attorneys general said, no medication abortion, please, abortion is legal. But some of those states, they may also have state laws against allowing pharmacies to dispense abortion medication. So I assume in those cases, you just have to go to your doctor or to a clinic. But there's a conflict here because at the federal level, the FDA has authorized pharmacies to dispense this medication. And there is a wide belief, a legal principle, that federal law preempts the states. But Republican AGs are exploiting that conflict right now and the legal uncertainty and trying to scare pharmacies into not providing these medications. There are a few elaborate arguments that they have, but because they don't have a very focused or surefire argument, it was pretty surprising that Walgreens made its announcement while other chains are kind of like waiting it out. So what specifically did these attorneys general threaten? Well, one thing they threatened was specifically to prosecute Walgreens under the Comstock Act, which is a 19th century anti-vice law, which stipulates that you can't send drugs that could cause an illegal abortion through the mail. So we're flexing the Comstock Act. Kansas voted in 2023 by referendum to protect abortion rights in the Constitution, but their AG is arguing he's looking back for an 1873 law to prohibit sending indecent materials through the mail. And this guy, he's got a long history in Kansas, but he tried to be governor, I think, again, and he did not win. So he's just like trying to run the state anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it is really like, sick is the exact word I was going to use, that like the voters can go to the polls and say, we want to protect abortion. The voters can go to the polls and say, we don't want this man in charge of what happens in Kansas. But because he is the attorney general and he has the powers vested in an attorney general, he's just going to do whatever he wants anyway. Like, it's the will of the people is being subverted on a really serious issue. And it's interesting because the whole conservative argument, I mean, it was a fake argument because what they actually wanted was to ban abortion. But their fake argument was it should go to the states. And it went to the fucking states, and they've chosen a couple of times. So it's really, like, it is alarming that basically one anti-abortion activist in state government can force the hand of a giant company. I mean, I don't actually believe they were forced. I think that they made a pretty weird choice here. But it is, like, alarming to see that someone can still basically put abortion restrictions in place without actually going through the electoral process or going to the people to do it.
Another thing that sticks out to me is, like, people did vote for this and they're trying to find loopholes, but now it's like this 1873 law is just indecent materials. Mm-hmm. So with through the mail. So, like, by that definition, everything can be fucking indecent, right? Like, getting a flyer from a church, is it, you know? Or, like, I don't know, spam mail is indecent. Or, like, or it's like, what are people sending nudes via the mail? Like,
exactly.
What is
yeah.
happening? You know, it's, and then it's also, like, again, you know, the Supreme Court is like, oh, yes, let's leave it up to the states. But, again, I don't even like to say like Republican hypocrisy, because they're supposedly the party of small government, but in any chance they have, they will completely override the will of the people, and they don't give a fuck about
what people want. Yeah, they want to go into your Walgreens account. Like, talk about big government.
And also, I will say they want to go to your Walgreens account, and also Walgreens, they're a corporation. Like, they could have just done the cowardly thing of not saying anything. Like, the right thing like would be others, like, we will stand with women in International Women's Month and fucking, you know, do what's right and do whatever. That could have been that's the right thing to do. The cowardly neutral thing to do is to not say shit. But they're doing this other fucking thing, which makes me think again, like y'all were saying, that somebody up there hates abortion, of like no towing to like, and like, again, there are a lot of states that abortion is still legal at. So it's like, what are we even doing? And now you're going to harm for like 21. But that's the thing. It's like Republicans are small in numbers, but loud and being annoying as hell.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what is the counter thing? You're supposed to go into Walgreens and be like, protest to support getting abortion. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it's also interesting because, again, just going into like Republican hypocrisy, which there's been like a lot of conversation, especially since like that Jon Stewart clip came out about like how important is it to point out hypocrisy. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right here. It is hypocritical of them not only to be like small government unless it's your body and your reproductive health, whatever, but also to be like, you can't tell corporations what to do when it comes to paying people a living wage, protecting workers' rights to a certain degree, but you can tell a pharmacy what medication to dispense, even in a state where that medication is legal. You can tell Disney World what to Disney-fy, like
what to say gay to.
Exactly. They're totally fine disrupting a business for their own aims.
Yeah. Were people saying that? Tell me more about that Jon Stewart clip. Where was there a discourse around it that like maybe it's not always?
I think it's a huge discourse.
Oh, interesting. So I think the background is that clip where he's talking to somebody about the main, we'll get back to the Walgreens, the main cause of death for kids. Is it that one?
Yeah, so there's a clip recently where Jon Stewart is talking to, I think he's like a representative of some kind. He's a gun rights advocate, and he basically backs him into a corner where the guy is like, well, we're banning drag shows because it hurts kids. And then he's like, okay, so you can infringe on the First Amendment to save kids, but you can't infringe on the Second. And then there's been a lot of discourse around, like, is it actually valuable to prove that Republicans are hypocritical on these issues? What is that actual value? Because they don't actually care. And is it kind of just something that like liberals like to engage in to like pat ourselves on the back? My personal feeling is like, obviously they don't care about being hypocrites, but I do think there is a value to laying bare the thought process here. And I
voters do care.
Voters do care. And also, I think it provides a model for people to have these conversations with people in their day-to-day life. Like, if I were to go and have a similar conversation with a relative of mine who maybe has the same beliefs as this person, I could see how that plays out on a really high level. Like, it kind of makes a model. So I don't know. I think people like to just poo-poo things and be like, you like the clip? Well, guess what? Nothing has actually changed. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't think Jon Stewart is claiming to have changed, has ever claimed to have like forced the law to change, but he does do this thing really well. And he's done it for years and years of like backing some of these people into a corner and kind of showing that like, their actual stated thought process, like what they use as an excuse, is not the actual thing. What, like, this guy wants to ban drag shows, not because he's actually concerned about children. He wants to ban them because he does not like gay people. And when you back them into a corner on these hypocrisy things, it shows I think, the underbelly of it, which is like, mm-hmm. oh, you're the reasoning isn't sound. And it's because that's not actually the reasoning. The reasoning has nothing to do with kids. It has to do with your own hatred for LGBTQ people.
And I think the hypocrisy too, or like that whole discussion was also about the role of comedy in it. Like, is it valuable for people to make, I mean, people have made Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart have made entire careers on calling out, and so have we. But I think also too, when you reveal the underbelly, like Elise was saying, and providing that model, it's like there are people who may be moderate or, you know, who want to support Republican policy and stuff. But like, if you get a Republican politician to say, instead of like, oh, I'm thinking about children, I'm thinking about protecting children, but instead like can get them, you know, backed in the corner to be like, no, I just hate gay people. Then that, you know, that also might illuminate and make it more clear for somebody mm-hmm. who maybe isn't into politics that much, but is gay. And it's like, well, I'm gay, but I don't want big government. And, but I'm not going to vote for this policy or this person who thinks all gay people are wrong or all black people are criminals, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's also another value in this discussion totally. That people.
Yeah. The people, yeah. I think people dramatically, overestimate just like the civics education in this country. And even seeing mm-hmm. a pretty simple catch of hypocrisy is really effective for people. I mean, I'm the one looking at the analytics, and I think it's not effective in making Republicans think more critically about their views. No. But I think it is important to do, to sort of like Elise said, you made a great point for like showing people. It can be really jarring when somebody says something so authoritatively, to sort of be like, okay, but this, and to sort of see somebody do that, and how honestly with Republicans effortless it can be to just point out like their lack of logic, that, yeah, I think it has an impact for sure.
Yeah, I think just seeing it articulated makes exactly. a big difference. It's not, again, it's not going to take a staunch Republican and turn them into yeah. like a crusader for the LGBTQ community. But there is value in laying bare what is going on, pushing people on this process. And I think the internet is just very like, anytime you see like a clip that's being praised, there is going to be a million people who are like, actually, the clip is bad because
always.
And for them, I say, touch grass.
Absolutely. Reply, well, yeah, guys. Find something else yeah. to do.
Well, I think for me too, just really quickly, is like, when we call out hypocrisy or like the actual way that these people use these arguments, I think it's helpful, you know, specifically Michael Hobbs' work on this with anti-trans stuff. But it's just also like really, really important to see like the way that they create arguments, because this is all recycled mm-hmm. and it's all been done before, but they change in, they literally have a formula and they change in the proper absolutely. Noun. And then they put in, instead of this women, it's gay people, instead of, you know? So I think a lot of people, again, and they take this thing that people fear and stuff. So I also like hearing and understanding that like everything that is happening is a cycle. And now it's like these little, you know, like, again, like now we're talking about abortion pills and this and that. Before it was like, you know, Republican attorney generals with gay marriage. And, you know, there's always just something where people try to get away on technicalities and stuff. And it's just a good reminder, one, in like the whatever pessimistic way or whatever, of like, it's a good reminder this is all happening again. And then two, in my bleeding heart liberal optimism way, it's also like we've overcome that and it's been moved on to another thing and we can like overcome this.
Yeah.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Back to Walgreens and their hypocrisy. So, like we said, they are They're basically citing all of these reasons, these attorney generals, why they think that Walgreens can't dispense this medication. And Walgreens is very much trying to be like, oh, poor us, we're in such a bad position, we can't understand the legal certainty. But some of the justifications here are pretty crazy. Like that Kansas AG, also I said he was formerly the governor, I was wrong. He was formerly the Secretary of State, but he caused a lot of trouble and made a lot of people mad there, I think specifically with like immigration and education. Like a lot of people just don't like this guy. And like Elise said, specifically said, we don't want you running this part of our state anymore. So he also said that Walgreens couldn't dispense the drugs based on a law that used to exist in Kansas, that you had to like be in the same room as their doctor. That doesn't even exist anymore. They're also saying you also can't dispense this in Iowa, which does permit pharmacies to dispense abortion drugs. And still Walgreens just said, okay, while these other chains have sort of just not really said that much. According to IRS records reviewed by the newsletter Popular Information, Walgreens has donated about $80,000 directly to the Republican Attorney General's Association since 2020. They've also donated quite a bit to Republicans running for Congress. And there's like, if you read that newsletter, there are some other like anti-abortion connections. Obviously, after this happened, there was a lot of calls to boycott Walgreens. Specifically in California, Governor Gavin Newsom said he was done with Walgreens. And what that means practically is that he said he would not renew the state's $50 million contract with the pharmacy. And that contract is what that pays for is prescriptions for inmates and I believe others that are in state care. Walgreens yearly makes about $130 billion. I know I was telling you guys, you know, today, like, yes, boycott Walgreens, but also like I'm so sick of having to like do really inconvenient things just because my rights aren't acknowledged. Anyway, thoughts about this story, the reaction?
Well, first of all, Walgreens is dumb as fuck. I can't believe they're simping so hard for Republican attorney generals.
Right. And that is exactly what they're doing. Thank you for saying simping. That plainly, because that is simping. What they are doing.
But also, I'm just like, okay, they gave $80,000. Like, $80,000 is probably, when you combine my student loan debt and my credit card debt, it's just like $80,000 is life-changing for Millie Tamaris and maybe some of the other people on sub. But $80,000 for $130 billion,
yeah,
doesn't make any sense why they're simping this hard for people that they don't even fucking, okay, if you're giving millions and millions of dollars to this organization, you want to keep them happy, whatever. But like, it just seems like crazy. And also, reason two why Walgreens is dumb as fuck was that they were one of the main people who gave Elizabeth Holmes money for her stupid blood test.
That's what I said in the newsletter Walgreens, too.
Walgreens, like, dumb as fuck.
Great minds.
I know. I was like, oh, from the people who brought you in-store Theranos boxes, we now have this. I mean, my thought is just, it is really interesting to me because it's not like any of the other pharmacies have come out and been like, we will dispense this medication. They're just not saying anything. So for Walgreens to make the decision that it's going to come out and say this and basically align itself with the anti-abortion movement and these like red state attorney general actors, there has to be an ideological like impulse behind that, because based on what every other soulless corporation is doing, the move is to not say shit until you like there are actually tricky legal things that are going on here, but I think having the backing and support of the actual U.S. federal government is a pretty big plus for dispensing these medications.
Yeah.
So for Walgreens to say something and literally publicly come out in this way, there's something else behind that decision, because they did not have to do that. I am sure that Rite Aid, CVS, all these other places got the same threatening letter. So I don't understand, outside of that there is someone at the top who supports not dispensing these medications, why they would put themselves at the forefront of all of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because like you said, people that have like moved forward with changing their prescriptions, it's hard enough to do it the first time. They're not going to change it back. They have sort of tried to do some damage control here, saying, like, we will do what is legally permissible. But again, that's meaningless because we don't know what their interpretation, whether they're taking the state's interpretation of what's legally permissible or the federal government. I'm also a little bit confused. And if you know, please let me know, like, what is this timeline? Like, when did the Biden administration say, like, starting this date, you can get, like, well, there's all this future tense that I'm a little confused about. And I know that's a privilege of not needing abortion pills in any of those states. But it's like, what's happening right now? Why you keep saying will? How are people like, I'm not really sure when this goes into effect or what kind of time this refers to about when this is going to happen. I mean, it's also happening as I don't think that this is connected necessarily in terms of that timeline. But we also are still waiting for that Texas judge that's appointed by Trump to make a determination about whether he, a non-doctor, thinks that the FDA should not have approved mifepristone. So there's really just quite a lot of activity around medication abortion and, you know, businesses having to interact with this again. And I'm glad people are talking about it. It feels like it's been a bit of a slow, like, anytime I dig into abortion news since Dobbs, I'm like, I can't believe this is where we are.
Yeah. I mean, it's really upsetting. And it's also like, again, just going to the, like, why did Walgreens do this of it all? They have a ready-made excuse, as you said, to just be like, we're not saying anything on this issue because nothing has been decided. Literally every other pharmacy has done that. And I also just, like, I feel like Walgreens has more money than Kansas. Like, I just feel like...
But I guess they're besties. Just pro bono. Yeah,
I just feel like I'm like, can Walgreens not take on a suit from Kansas? Like, Walgreens has a lot of fucking money. They're a $1 billion company. But now they have run afoul of California, which is actually, like, nearly the fourth largest economy in the world.
Yeah. So that's the thing about blue states. Big-ass economies.
I know. So yeah. I'm like, I don't think that Walgreens has more money than California. But I do think that they have more money than Kansas. Mm-hmm. So I'm
– Absolutely.
It's confusing – It's also just the thought process.
It's so dystopian. I mean, you said this over Slack earlier today, but it's like, okay, California, you can find somebody else to medicate the inmates that you forced to fight fires. Like, there's no heroes here. There are no heroes. CVS is not a hero. CVS also helped cause the fucking opioid epidemic. Like, I'm sorry, unless you're going next door for your pharmacies, it's not great. It's not great.
Well, my local pharmacy sucks too. They always make me, they're like, what are you here for? And I'm like, Lexapro, you asshole. I'm just kidding. There are no good pharmacists. Even the ones
you're gonna hear from some, Millie. You are going to hear from some. I promise.
Well, I'm just saying their hours. The local pharmacy people close at 5 p.m. every goddamn day, and they always make me freaking reorder my. I'm just saying. I try to support stressed. Local.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now. Now that we've spent quite a lot of time discussing women's rights, let's discuss their wrongs. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you're up again. Once again, the first female governor of Arkansas has rolled back protections against child labor. The Youth Hiring Act is what this is called. The Youth Hiring Act will get her signature soon. So specifically, this law eliminates requirements for the state to verify the age of children younger than 16 before they can get a job. Previously, they would have had to get an employment certificate from the government certifying their age, their proposed work schedule, and that they had their parents' consent. Her governor says that that was burdensome and obsolete. The obsolete is pretty interesting, given that this is happening 2 weeks after the Department of Justice fined a food sanitation company $1.5 million for really serious child labor violations in factories all across the country, including there were two cases in Arkansas.
This shit is just evil.
Yeah.
First of all, like, they talk a lot about these migrant caravans and how unaccompanied minors and separation, all this shit. But what the, like, down the road, what's happening is that a lot of these kids come to America, their families send them to America alone, and they're liable to pay fucking rent, which even somebody who's in their 30s, like we talk about all the time, have trouble fucking paying their rent. So now these kids are like working at 14 years old, 15 years old, cleaning machinery, like really, dangerous really things. Difficult jobs, yeah. Dangerous things. And they don't speak the language and they're being taken advantage of. And again, like something like certifying their age, proposed work schedule, and parents' consent. These are not complicated things. These are, you're like, you would think that you're asking fucking companies to like whatever, but it's like
for your period you information, perhaps.
Exactly. Like, you should certify someone's age and then give them a work schedule, because many places, if you're under 16, under 18, you can't work, like, you can't work over a certain amount of time because your priority should be school. Like, it should be basic school. But again, this is what Republicans want. They don't want people educated. They want people doing hard fucking labor. They're literally rolling back shit that we've had, like, so many things. Like, does the t-shirt factory fire, like, not mean? And like, this is crazy. But it's also just, it's just crazy because this is also a huge, when we talk about specifically Latin support for Republican candidates, like, this is a issue that disproportionately affects Latino youth, because a lot of a majority of the children working in these factories are from Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, you know? And it's just like, it's just really interesting now that in one week she's like, no Latinx. And then another week she's like, oh, actually 14-year-olds can come and work in our factories and we don't have, you know, it's just so evil. And again, she can't dress.
Mm. Well, that's what I said. That was my first reaction, was that, I mean, this tracks for me since she clearly hires a toddler to do her makeup.
It's roasted.
Civility alert. That was not civil.
Amanda. We discussed using that joke on morning announcements, but I was like, it needs context, so I'll bring it to Seth.
I agree with everything that Millie was saying, and I think it's really important to highlight that there was just an expose that came out about how many young Latino kids from like Central American migrant kids are being found working in dangerous conditions. Those are the kids that she is like, those are the kids that are going to be affected by this, right? Like, a young white kid who's getting their first job, whose parents know the laws and whose parents know what's right and whose parents will probably like go yell at their boss if they don't give them time off and shit like that. Like, that kid is not going to be affected by this. But these kids who come here either without parents or with parents who are undocumented and therefore like can't make themselves known to the system or don't know about the system, those are the kids who are going to get caught up in this. They're going to be the ones that are doing, again, intense labor in factories, contracting jobs. Like, and this expose that came out talked about how like you irreparably damage their educational future by having a kid working a fucking factory job when they're either supposed to be in high school and not going, or they're kind of going to high school. But how the fuck can you pay attention in high school when you're also working a grueling factory job? Like, you're not going to get an education. You're not going to learn. You're not going to, like, I don't know, like, a kid who actually goes through high school and learns about how this country works will probably be a better advocate for themselves, as shitty as some of our public school civics education is. If they're actually able to be dedicated to that, like the way we've seen with a lot of these dreamer kids and stuff, they can become activists for their own selves. But if they're prevented from going to school, learning how shit works here because they work in a fucking factory, then, you know, it's just exploitation on exploitation on exploitation. And it goes back to an issue that's been at the heart of this, like, migrant situation, which is the, like, false narrative of they're taking our jobs, because, like, these are jobs that most Americans don't want and that we actually do need done. And we've actually created this shadow economy that's based on paying adults and apparently children pennies for this really vital work in all these different situations. So it just exacerbates all of that. It's unbelievably cruel and bizarre for someone from a party that's all freaked out about kids going to see a drag queen or kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can't see a drag show, but they can work at the meatpacking
plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can be a roofer. You can
have that in the library.
You can have a gun. Yeah, you can have a gun. You can be a roofer. God forbid.
Guys, we're pointing out hypocrisy again.
Whatever. God forbid you see someone doing fucking Dolly Parton drag.
Yeah.
This is the thing is that this is when you talk like, and this is why I will stand up for calling out Republican hypocrisy, but it's just like when you see the vision that these people have for our country, it's so bleak and it's so gross. They want a country where public education, like only rich people can go to school. They want a country where if you don't work your, if you do not provide value, quote unquote, to this country by working 70 hours a week to the bone, you should not eat. You should not have a place to live. Like, this is what they want. Like, you know, I constantly think about like, what is their end goal? And you just see it from their actions, from the laws that they pass. They don't want anything to change. They want to make things go backwards. And they want people who, because this is the thing too. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, when do you think she had her first job? Daughter of Mike Huckabee. Like, this bitch was not working at 16.
Well, and she wasn't working on a roof.
She wasn't working any hard labor.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that this exposes, I mean, two additional things before we have to move on are that, one, I think there's an implicit acknowledgement that families in Arkansas can't survive without their children working. Like, I think that the people that she wants to alleviate this burden for are families who need their 15-year-olds to work because they can't afford a living in this country. And two, like you said, Elise, it's like these are jobs that of age immigrants to this country could do. But because they're the party that refuses to set up a pathway to, I mean, it's a huge crisis in this country that we don't have enough of age people to do these jobs, which is also contributing to forcing kids into them.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
We'll now pivot to a lighter segment. Women who are thriving this week. We're going to be doing this all Women's History Month. We're going to start with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's girl bossing. She's defying gender stereotypes. She's doing that. So who is thriving this week is Shalonda Young. She is the director of the Office of Management and Budget, which is like a huge White House job. Basically, she's charged with managing the budget and federal spending. Why is she thriving? Because her team has been working to put together the Biden administration's proposed budget, which you might see a lot of headlines, a lot of the administration trying to hype this up this week. What it would do is it would cut the deficit by a projected $3 trillion over the next decade by taxing a shitload of billionaires and ultra-millionaires. It also includes higher capital gain taxes and ending the carried interest loopholes. We love all that. Not only did she pull this off, but she really over-delivered. Biden had promised that he would propose a budget to reduce the deficit by $2 trillion, but Young was able to find opportunities to pitch $3 trillion. So this, of course, is not what the ultimate budget will look like. This is the Biden administration's pitch saying that if we could do whatever we wanted, this is what we would do. What do you think? And now we wait for Republicans to share their budgetary vision for America, but Shalonda Young is thriving. I really hope that she gets to take a load off this weekend. We got to talk to her one of the times we went to the White House, and she was my favorite. She's just incredible.
Yeah. And this budget, I mean, it is really cool, and it's really interesting because it, like, a lot of the stuff that they're making up for is deficit that was created by the fucking Trump tax cuts. So, like
2017.
Yeah, it like increased the deficit by a lot. So it's very much like a your move, Republicans, because here this is like a thought out budget that does all of these good things. It like helps keep Social Security solvent for like another 25 years, which is huge. And I mean, obviously, Mitch McConnell's already like, it won't see the light of day and like whatever.
Well, Mitch McConnell ain't walking, so.
He's down for the count. And that's all we're going to say. He's down for the count,
baby.
Yeah, might be a bit for that. They also are still figuring out the, they're still, we're going to hit the debt ceiling any moment. But this is Biden's proposed vision. They're going to, like Elise said, it's kind of a like your move. This is going to be a time where basically he's going to get a really high return on his spontaneous kind of State of the Union takedown, where he's appeared to get the room to agree that Social Security would not be on the table. I expect Republicans to pay attention to that one, though, because he's going to raise taxes above people earning $400,000. And those people don't think they're rich. So you're going to hear from them. And depending on where you live, you know, you might not be the richest, but definitely 1%. They'll be fine.
Okay, Fleischman is in trouble.
Exactly. All right. Who is thriving next? Mandy Matney is thriving. I included her on our Instagram version of this because this happened on Friday. This is a carryover from last week. But if you don't know who she is, she has been investigating Alex Murdaugh long for years. Like, I really think this all happened because of her. There's like probably 100 episodes just going so deep into every single layer of this story of what happened to Mallory Beach and Paul and Maggie and Alex Owen scandals. Like, I got really into it a couple years ago and then kind of like hop back up, you know, with this all finally happening. But I think that it's really hard to make a case that she didn't have a lot to do with getting the prosecution to actually take a lot of these things seriously. So I just can't imagine how this feels for her. She's been working so hard for so long, and anyone involved with taking that motherfucker down, great. Rode too much privilege for too long.
So you do recommend listening to that podcast?
I mean, it's so long. Like, yeah, from the beginning, you could. If you've watched the... I need to find out if she was involved in the documentary. I'm basically just like want to give her credit because a lot of people are hyping the Netflix documentary. I'm not sure if she was involved, but even if she wasn't directly involved, they definitely got it from her. Yeah, listen to it on 2x speed and it's great. It's just like great to have back. And she just goes down like every single, I didn't care as much about the financial crimes one. I more wanted like, you know, the scandal of it all. But Mandy Matney is thriving. Who else is thriving? Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. Why? Because a new Senate bill aimed at defending against the Chinese government interfering with our national security via TikTok would basically empower her to ban it. There's a lot of bills going around right now about TikTok. I'm sure you guys have seen them, but basically she could make the determination and sort of provide like, here are the national security threats right now. I am going to ban TikTok. And, you know, honestly, like, I think she could kind of make that argument like now. So there's reasons to believe that that would basically, you know, functionally empower her to restrict TikTok at any time. There was a pretty intense congressional hearing on this yesterday with a lot of senators saying, why do we let people have this app? It's definitely, I mean, Gina Raimondo is thriving. It's definitely a tricky time for Democrats because TikTok's a super important app for liberals. I mean, there's a lot of conservative points that take off on it too. But, you know, if we're looking at a 2024 where Biden's student loans didn't work out and TikTok is gone, I don't feel good about that.
No. But also China did send two different big ass balloons full of cameras to look at our country. So I'm sure they're probably going through that TikTok.
Yeah, I just assume it's like sunk up. It's fine for me to have the rush of a For You page. It's okay.
Yeah, it's
people listening are like, Amanda, it's not okay.
It's interesting because I do use TikTok and I find things I like on TikTok, but I also am scared of TikTok. And I do think these questions that are being raised about like the data being mined on all of us from TikTok and where it's going are real questions, but it also feels wild to say, to actually think about like a TikTok ban being implemented and what that would like mean and be and how that would like be
right
responded to people, by the youths.
I mean, to think how many people, it's very silly because I still do have friends that are not on TikTok. And it's like people have made entire careers, become millionaires, absolutely, maybe even billionaires just from that platform, who some smartly have diversified and realized that that platform could go at any time. Many have not. So yeah, it would be very, very interesting. It would dramatically change the balance of my day.
Yeah, I like, I really try to challenge myself. Like sometimes I'll open the app and be like, 10 minutes, million.
Yeah.
10 minutes. And I don't know. And then now that my TikTok knows that, I'll watch a 5-part Judge Judy episode on TikTok. Or somebody
outsmarted you.
Yeah, somebody who's went on a bad date or is building, remodeling their kitchen. Bitch, I'm watching.
Yeah.
So there's not, you know, the Chinese government, I don't know what they want with that information, but I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Millie, you are among the next group of people thriving, which are single women. Not only are unmarried women more likely than unmarried men to own homes, which is came out in a study recently, but they've now overtaken unmarried women to make up the majority of the female population. I think over 50, maybe 15 or 18 in the U.S. So 52% of American adult women are unmarried versus 48% who are. And that's sort of switched about in the last like 20 years. It's sort of like been inverted. But I mean, this is part of a conversation that I think I want to bring, you know, a couple of more voices into, just about the rejection of marriage and childbirth in this country and South Korea and China. There's just so much going on right now.
I was just reading an article, like literally, I need to finish it. There's one in The Cut about women in South Korea who are basically just being like, we reject all men and we're going to create like a female society.
Yeah, I think a lot about what I would do with Mike in the gender war. I'm not sure. I guess I'd protect him.
You know, I feel like there'll be a private bunker that eventually we'll get to. But, you know, I think there have to be a tier for guys, you know, like there's like one, you know.
Right, right. Listen, we'll figure it out. We'll figure that out internally. Women Talking was great. Yeah.
I suggest watching Women Talking. It's a really great movie. I just watched it this week. And it was like, wow, this is what a matriarch, you know, this is what we can do with power if women have power.
I mean, speaking of women having slightly more power, our second to last women are thriving. These women are thriving, working women in Sweden, Iceland, Finland, and Norway, because according to the Economist Glass Ceiling Index, this is the best place in the OECD club of mostly rich countries to be a working woman. So a country's performance on this index is measured along 10 metrics. The one most recognizable to me were like the pay gap, parental leave for both parents, the cost of childcare, the educational attainment, and sorry, I'm very tongue-tied today. Sorry, listeners. And representation in senior management and political jobs. So they have listed 29 countries here. Number one is Iceland. Number two is Sweden. Number four is Finland. Or number three is Finland and number four is Norway. The U.S. is number 19 out of 29, and that makes us slightly below average. We are between Ireland and the Netherlands.
That's
good for Northern European women, I guess.
Good for, and again, like these are all places that really have thought about what it means to be a working woman and what it means to be a working parent. And they have a lot of policies there, too, that we talk about would be really life-changing for so many women here about, like, paid child care and universal child care and all that.
Yeah, to me, it's super interesting. Yes, exactly. To see which the makeup of the four, because a lot of these top four countries, Iceland, Sweden, Finland, and Norway, and probably some of these others, you know, because they do offer such generous maternity leave, sometimes employers do anticipate that women will take advantage of it. And women sometimes, even men don't always, a big issue with parental leave is when men, the male partner, doesn't take as much as he's entitled to, because you still end up with these mommy penalties. And sometimes that can be even more pronounced in some of the countries where women do have a lot of leave, because everybody knows that. So it's interesting to see that some of these top countries like Iceland and Sweden, I wonder how they've avoided that more than Finland and Norway. Who's at the bottom here? Oh, South Korea. At first, the aforementioned
where the women
reasons.
Are rejecting male society entirely.
I'll put this on our stories. I didn't want our chart to be confusing, but you can actually track the differences, and some of them have really plummeted dramatically. The ones I noticed did were Israel and Greece went down like quite a lot in just a couple of years. Oh, and Hungary went way down. So
I'm really surprised matters. To see us above the Netherlands, just because I have a friend who lives in the Netherlands.
And the men are so tall.
Well, what's there to worry about? I have a friend who lives in the Netherlands and had a baby this year, and she just ended her maternity leave, which like her, I think was 9 months. The baby is 9 months old now. And her husband is starting his paternity leave. So I'm just
so rad.
I know. I'm like, and we're above them?
Yeah, there's something really interesting about this ranking for sure. And I think it's, yeah, because like Germany, I'm surprised, is number 22 out of 29, which is lower than I would have expected. I wonder if this is like specifically working women. There are elements here that like might weigh one country against another in an unusual way. But yeah, we are not even, we are definitely on the lower end.
Yeah, I used to work for many Japanese companies and I would have to go to Japan.
They're second to last.
Trips. Exactly. And they're number 28. And like, this does not surprise me at all. It was, you know, again, when you get married. So like the way that you got married, Amanda, and you got married, Elise, like you just have to quit your job after you get married. Like the day after your wedding or even before your wedding, you quit your job and become a housewife. Like
just waiting for permission, Millie.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But even though but again, like the burdens that, because it's again, like you're not just like sitting at home. You have to make these lunch boxes for your husband yeah. every day, and you have to take care of his parents and all this stuff and remind him of all his, you know? And I just remember, I mean, just a little anecdote of being, we're at a business trip to Japan and seeing that I was like a mid-level marketing, you know, I was like, just a little bit above entry-level marketing. And there were only like 3 or 4 women in my role in a company of like 300, 500 people. And I'm just looking at a floor and then all the women majority were admin assistants, secretaries, executive assistants. And they all had to wear uniforms to work, like an office job. They have to wear uniforms. And I went to my boss and I was just like, hey, like, why are they wearing uniforms? And I feel like the men aren't wearing uniforms. And my boss just looks at me confused. He's like, well, they can wear whatever they want on their commute. And that is gender politics in Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting to consider in terms of this list of working women, because it makes you realize that like, okay, if a country's culture doesn't prioritize women working, of course the government's not going to set that up for them. So that probably explains, you know, why Japan and South Korea are 28, 29. One final one, because this just made me smile. Anna Wintour is thriving. Why? Because according to Page Six, she's not going to have to deal with the Kardashians at the Met Gala. According to a report this morning, she will not be inviting any of the Kardashians to the 2023 Met Gala, which does seem to be a political decision. So I did want to add that breaking headline.
That's interesting because, it was just such a huge deal when she finally did start inviting them, because she's banned them from the Met Gala before. Then she brought them in, and I feel like they've always been like, I don't know, Met Gala figures ever since. I mean, Kim basically debuted Ozempic by trying to fucking fit into this Marilyn Monroe dress. So is interesting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is interesting.
I fucking support it because you know what? As a fucking Bushwick girl who loves Halloween, none of the Kardashians ever dress on theme for the year. They never, ever, ever do. Again, with the Kim Kardashian, Marilyn Monroe, when it was Gilded Age. And she had that big ass with nothing come on. No, ban them. You're not going to respect the theme. Ban them. If you have a theme party and people don't come on theme, fuck you. You're not invited next year.
No, don't beg. Do not ban drag. Ban Kardashians from the Met Gala. And on that note, that is our show. Enjoy your International Women's History Weekend. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow @Betches_sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com. Betches.